Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, a college of arts and sciences and music conservatory, offering a global education featuring research, internships, and study abroad. Lawrence.edu.
Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan has been found guilty of impeding the work of federal officers trying to arrest a man who was in the country illegally. It's Friday, December 18th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we'll get the very latest of the verdict in that Hannah Dugan case. Plus, the House has passed a bill to take the gray wolf off the endangered species list. And our politics team has the latest on federal lawsuits involving Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our eight bureaus around the state, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world.
Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan has been found guilty of a felony for obstructing an immigration arrest earlier this year. Sarah Lear reports on last night's verdict.
Jurors handed down the decision after 8:30 Thursday night, after deliberating for more than 6 hours. They found Dugan guilty of impeding or obstructing a proceeding, but they found her not guilty of the less serious misdemeanor charge of concealing an individual to prevent his discovery and arrest. The charges stem from an April 18th incident when Dugan led a man through a side door of her courtroom. That's after immigration agents showed up to arrest the man for being in the country illegally. Following the verdict, Brad Schimmel, the U.S. Attorney for the Milwaukee region, suggested the case was not about a larger political battle.
It is ultimately about a single day, a single bad day, in a public courthouse.
Dugan's attorneys told reporters the case is a long way from over. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Two children in Wisconsin have died of respiratory illnesses. One of the children died from COVID-19 and the other from influenza. The State Department of Health Services said they are the first deaths from respiratory disease of this year's season. They did not release the children's ages. Respiratory illness is increasing in Wisconsin, according to state data. Forecasts show this year's flu season could be more severe than usual. That's because this year's dominant strain of the virus can lead to more serious illness and because vaccination rates have lagged. Last month, the state reported only about one quarter of Wisconsinites had gotten a flu shot. In a statement, epidemiologist Tom Haupt said it's not too late for people to protect themselves and their families by getting vaccinated. The U.S. House has passed a bill that would remove federal protections for gray wolves. As Danielle Kading reports, the legislation passed largely along party lines.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany co-sponsored the bill. It would delist the gray wolf from the Endangered Species Act. The legislation would also bar courts from reviewing the decision. Tiffany, who is running for Wisconsin governor, said on the House floor that the wolf status has bounced between being listed and delisted.
Wisconsinites know best when it comes to managing Wisconsin's wolf population, and it's long past time we empowered Wisconsinites to be able to manage the gray wolf population once again.
State wildlife regulators say they stand ready to manage wolves. Wisconsin law mandates a wolf hunt when the animal isn't under federal protection. If delisted, some House Democrats say wolves would be hunted to extinction. The bill now heads to the Senate, where its prospects remain unclear. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is suing a Wisconsin dairy farm for national origin discrimination and sexual harassment. The EEOC said United Pride Dairy in Price County promised three Mexican nationals professional or management roles. They provided the same information to the U.S. Embassy for their work visas. When those people arrived at the farm, they were denied those positions and assigned to be laborers. It also claims that a Mexican female employee was sexually harassed by her supervisor after he, quote, frequently shared demeaning pornographic images with her and made, quote, sexually offensive comments. An attorney for United Pride Dairy called the suit baseless. The dairy farm employs 46 full-time workers and 20 part-time workers. Well, there have been some big developments recently in federal lawsuits involving the state of Wisconsin. WPR's Rich Kramer and Anyavan Wagtendonk joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for this update.
Rich, we've had lawsuits flying in both directions between the state and federal governments. The U.S. Department of Justice just sued Wisconsin and other states for not turning over requested voter information to the Trump administration. Most of the lawsuits, though, have been filed by the state of Wisconsin against the Trump administration. You spoke to Attorney General Josh Call earlier this week about those. And how many are there?
Well, as of Monday, Call's Department of Justice told me there have been 40 multi-state lawsuits that he's signed Wisconsin onto. They've run the gamut, challenging the Trump administration's freezes on federal funding, restrictions on health care access for transgender youth, and the president's executive order banning birthright citizenship. The first lawsuit Call signed on to came the day after Trump was inaugurated back in January. The most recent was announced this week.
And it seems like Republicans who run the state legislature are paying attention to Call. They created a new committee this week with the DOJ in mind. What would it do?
A statement from Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue says the committee will investigate external influences on the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The subtext there goes way back to 2024 when it was reported that Call hired a special attorney general focused on environmental litigation. That position was funded by the State Energy and Environmental Impact Center at New York University. Republicans bristled because the center is funded by former Democratic New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And Anya, it sounds like maybe there could be another lawsuit on the way from Wisconsin involving the president's latest executive order on artificial intelligence. What was that order about, and what are Wisconsin's top Democrats saying about it?
That executive order would essentially ban states from having their own regulations on AI. The argument is that having a state-by-state kind of patchwork regulatory framework would hamper innovation, maybe also restricts interstate commerce, basically that it makes things overly complicated. And the order also says that any states that don't comply with this, that kind of maintain their own restrictions on AI, will lose federal funding. Governor Tony Evers sent Trump a letter saying that it would undo bipartisan efforts here in Wisconsin around protecting kids. And there's also an argument that this basically hands all the power to big tech companies to write tech policy. So Attorney General Call didn't say whether Wisconsin would or would not join a lawsuit against the move. But he did say this is not how lawmaking works. Executive orders cannot write state law. And we do know that some other states are gearing up to challenge the order in court.
And you've both been covering some high-profile lawsuits involving federal elections. Rich, first with you, there have been two lawsuits challenging Wisconsin's congressional map, but it sounds like they might take a while to wrap up.
They could take a while. The two cases are aimed at redrawing the map, which is largely based on districts drawn by Republican lawmakers back in 2011 and signed by former GOP Governor Scott Walker. Attorneys behind one of the cases believes a new map could be in place by March. What's interesting in the other redistricting case is that lawyers from the liberal firm behind the lawsuit and lawyers for the legislature agreed on a court schedule stretching well past the November 2026 midterms.
And Anya, you covered a hearing in the criminal case against three people who were behind Wisconsin's fake elector scheme in the 2020 election. It's 2025 now. Almost 2026. That case seems far from over. What's happening?
The tale of the 2020 presidential election is a long one. So this was a preliminary hearing for Jim Troupas, Ken Chesbrough, and Mike Roman. Troupas and Chesbrough are lawyers. Roman was a campaign aide who helped execute this plan. And at this week's hearing, the judge found that there is probable cause for the case against Troupas and Roman to move forward. Chesbrough got separated out for kind of complicated reasons having to do with testimony he gave in another state, because there have been a lot of state cases tied to attempts to undo the outcome of the 2020 election. And those have faltered in a lot of states. Obviously, the case is ongoing here in Wisconsin, but it's also clear based on how long it took to get to this hearing and then all the various motions filed by all of the various defense attorneys that this is going to stretch on for quite a while, even before we get to trial, if we get to trial.
That was WPR's Anyavan Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer. They spoke with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, a story from Wisconsin Life about finding the perfect Christmas tree and then losing it in spectacular fashion. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kyle LaFond, president of Friends of PBS Wisconsin.
And I'm Roy Christensen, board chair of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
We believe in the power of public media, on air, online, and in our communities.
Let's keep Wisconsin public media strong together. Visit WPR.org/together.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a Shorewood family's Christmas adventure.
Every holiday season has its twinkles of drama. For journalist Dan Simmons, his unforgettable moment involves the family Christmas tree. He shares his fiasco with us just before the holidays.
Every Black Friday, we head out to a farm in the Milwaukee exurbs, park in a gravel lot, and pay $125 in exchange for a saw and a shopping trip. We go to the woods, and I cut down a tree that my wife approves. The height must be right, and the branches must be symmetrical, and the needles must pledge not to start dropping until New Year's. Sometimes we name our new addition, Bruce the Spruce, or Fraser Crane, for example. Teenagers in Carhartt jackets and Santa hats, loaded on top of the family roadster, and off we go. In one of the early years, our daughter seemed to obsess about the tree. About 500 times on the ride home, Frankie repeated this line, "Da twee is still on, da woof." The next year, we went to two farms before meeting just the right tree. Frankie actually picked it out and later explained that it was the perfect tree. It was tall and chubby. As we were about to turn the Honda Fit onto Port Washington, the road next to Interstate 43, the thought occurred to me, why not just take the highway? Mary replied, "Are you sure the tree will stay on if we're going that fast?" We just merged into highway traffic when our tree appeared in the rearview mirror. It was shooting backwards at significant velocity, trailing a blizzard of needles. It landed in the middle lane of southbound 43. Da twee was not on to woof, it was on to woad. Cars were coming at it 70 miles per hour. I pulled our car to the shoulder, dialed 911, and prayed. We watched in the rearview mirror. One car after the other approached, saw the twee, and panicked. I am an enormous NBA basketball fan. There's a move called the Eurostep. It involves driving toward the basket at full speed, planting your foot, and somehow darting to the side to avoid a defender. I watched an orange Subaru pull off a Giannis-esque Eurostep around the tree, swerving right just before impact, going 75 miles per hour. Car after car somehow found a way to avoid contact until, that is, the 18-wheel semi came trucking at it. There was no sudden stopping, no Eurostepping around it. The truck plowed straight into the tree. Merry freaking Christmas. This guy was just doing his job, and through zero fault of his own, he was pushing pine. The balsam rode that chrome front grille like a snowplow. The truck didn't slow down. The tree didn't let go. Sparks were flying. Needles were dancing. This was cinema. But how would it end? A quarter mile past impact, the big rig pulled over to the shoulder. The driver got out. He pulled our tall and chubby tree from under his truck, chucked it in the ditch, climbed back into the cab, and kept on trucking. I called the tree farm. We heard the gruff-sounding voice on the other end yelling at the kids in the Santa hats. My daughter, stoic throughout this situation, burst into tears. It hurt her to hear the boys getting reamed. It wasn't their fault. We decided that we would get another tree. I agreed to rent a U-Haul. I drove that orange-accented moving truck of shame into the gravel lot. The guys in Santa hats profusely apologized. We profusely apologized back. We found a great new tree, named it Trina Turner. Mary and the girls turned Trina into the most dazzling, tasteful version of herself. I hoisted Frankie to top it with the same glittery star we use every year. It's another example of how Christmas is always better when it actually happens, once the preparations and adventures that led up to it are in the rear view. There's also wisdom in her Jewish friend's reaction. Ah, the ways of you Gentiles.
Dan Simmons is a journalist who lives in Shorewood. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCullum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A few flurries early this morning, then sunshine and clouds throughout the day. Much colder than the past few days, though, with highs in the teens and 20s and wind speeds up near 20 miles per hour at times. Some light snow possible in northern Wisconsin overnight, otherwise cloudy with lows in the teens. Highs in the 20s and 30s tomorrow, but wind gusts above 25 miles per hour at times. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Don't forget to leave us that rating and review wherever you're listening right now. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.